in your grace. Amen. What a sweet presence. Please let us pray. Precious Father, the custodian of truth, the King of creation, I worship you. So go into your word this afternoon. I thank you for the great privilege you've given me to share your word. And I also recognize my limitation in being able to bring forth this word the way you want it done. So, Father, I ask you for mercy. Let your mercy be superimposed upon my infirmities and upon my inadequacies, so you will make me an oracle of God, and you cause my tongue to be like the pen of a ready writer. So your word will flow out of me this afternoon like streams of living water. Let it come, Lord, in wisdom, in clarity, in power, in simplicity, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit, and let it do an internal, eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own. So our wills will be more submitted to your will. Our minds will be further illuminated with revelation from the Holy Spirit. And our emotions will be further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruits of the Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Father, under the covenant of my fathers, I come to dock that the anointing upon them, Lord God, I dock as their son under that same anointing. That, Lord, you will back these words everywhere they go in the face of the earth with the covering that comes from them in the name of Jesus. Let yokes be broken. Let blind eyes be open. Let deaf ears be unstopped. Let strength come to the feet and the ankle bones of those in Zion. So we will arise and we will fulfill our destiny in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for helping me. I ask for mercy to be concise and to be precise, so I will not say unnecessary things, but you make me a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, Lord, seeking the honor that comes from you alone, and speaking not of myself, but speaking of Christ, and speaking of my Father's in the name of Jesus, so that this word, Lord God, will be a pure word. It will be backed with the power of heaven. And Lord, it will change us, Lord, and lift us up to where you want us to be. I ask, Lord, for your will to be done and your kingdom to come. Through this word, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The choir has already tapped into a vein by the help of the Holy Spirit, you know, and this is a word I've entitled Learning to Walk Wisely. We live in a time when we need to walk wisely. Pastor shared with us about hastening the day and the coming of the Lord. And this is a spin-off of that, you know, of that word. Bible says that we should walk circumspectly, as wise, not as fools. And there's a spiritual civil war going on in the Church of Jesus Christ. The house of Saul is seeking to destroy the house of David in a bid to prolong a reign that has kept God's people unarmed, has kept God's people gullible and easily deceived, and looking for power from the devil. David is a type of the end time Christian. The Bible says in the last days God will raise up the tabernacle of David. And this afternoon, I believe God has dropped a word in my. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 19 to 22. Thank you. 1 Samuel 13, 19 to 22. Let's read it together. Now, there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, when Saul was in reign, there was no smith, no blacksmith. Okay? For the Philistines said, let the Hebrews make them what? Swords and... What do you use swords and spears to do? Fight. Spiritual warfare. So he tapped into a vein there. Next verse. But all the Israelites went down where? To the Philistines to sharpen every man his chair, his coulter, his axe, and his mattock. Next verse. Yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters and for the forks and for the axes and to sharpen their goads. Next verse. So it came to pass. I can't hear you. So it came to pass. In the day of what? That's where we are living now. That there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. Can you imagine? But with Saul and Jonathan, his son, was there found. There's a leadership in the church that has knowledge of the will of God and will not teach it for their own selfish reasons. And so they keep the people of God ever dependent on them. Unable to fight for themselves. And the Bible says here that they went to the Philistines. Can you imagine? So it's not saying that we go to look for power in the place of the devil. That's where they went to get. If you don't get power from God, where are you going to get it from? There's no middle ground. So God is raising up, training, and fighting with the house of David. Look at Amos chapter 9, verse 11 and 12 quickly. In that day, when is that day? This day. Will I do what? Raise up what? The tabernacle of David that is what? Fallen. And close up the breaches. So God is raising up a dynasty of sons with hearts like David. Sons being mature Christians. It's not male or female. Once you become mature, there's no male or female in Christ. Okay? And I will do what? Raise up his ruins and I will build it as well in the days of old. So we're going to the days of old to see what happened to David by the grace of God. And we see in 2 Samuel chapter 3 verse 1 that the house of David is already winning the war. Thank you for that word, Pastor Andrew. Because God is fighting with them. And them whom God has blessed, no man can curse. Them whom God has given the victory, none can stand against them. Now there was what? Long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. How many people are in the house of, let me see you are in the house of David? Right, okay. Right. But David did what? Wax stronger, and you should be getting stronger spiritually. That's the will of God for us. We should be getting stronger spiritually. And the house of Saul did what? Waxed weaker and weaker. Okay? And now the house of David is about to ascend up to the throne. Because Saul was king, but God rejected his kingship, we know, because of disobedience and witchcraft. So the God now raised up David as a new leadership. Like Samuel prophesied, one that is better than you. Told him, one that is better than God will give the kingdom. He's taking it, he's rent it from your hands and will give it to one that's better than you. That kingdom there was the kingdom of the land of Israel in the days of old. But in this day, it's an experience of the total dominion by the nature of God in our spirits, in our souls, and in our body. What we call perfection. The perfection and the fullness of Christ. That is the kingdom. So God is raising up now people who will experience the total dominion of the divine nature in their spirits, in their souls, and in their body. And they will ascend unto the leadership of the church in Zion. And when they ascend that leadership, they will dictate what people will do. Because when there was no king in the land, every man did what was wise in his own eyes. Judges 21:25. But now they are going to be kings on God's holy hill. And then you can't do what you like. Because when you do it, you will see God just instantly just react. And then you know that, there's a God. Bible says, verily, you know, that judgment, that Bible says, when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants will what? Learn righteousness. When God judges sin, everybody will sit up. That's the will of God. You're not sinning now. Say amen. Amen. Are you sinning? In Jesus' name, amen. It's a word of encouragement, amen. All right. So we see, so God is we're in the house of David. So we should be saying yes, sir, amen. All right. Right, because God wants to fix. We'll see how God did for David. Okay. And once we enter that land, let's look at it. David was the one. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 5 and 7. Quickly, thank you. Yes. In Hebron, he, mean David, reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem, he reigned how many? 33 years over all Israel and Judah. Verse 7. Nevertheless, David did what? Took the stronghold of the same is the city of David. Now you know that in the Old Testament, Joshua didn't conquer all the land. He was supposed to, but he didn't get to it, and he was old, and land was never conquered. But David was the one that took all the land. And Zion was the stronghold of the Jebusites. And they were telling him nothing happened. And he said, you don't understand. He just sent his mighty men. And the Bible says they went up by the water spout. Okay. And they took Zion. And then David conquered all the land. So David is the type of the leadership that enters into the fullness of Christ. It's very important that we have that background and understanding. So when he did that, okay. So we see that he conquered all the land. He also brought back the ark of the glory of God. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. And they brought in, I can't hear you, they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it where? In his place, in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David did what? Offered, I can't hear you, David offered burnt offerings and what? Peace offerings before the Lord. Let me ask a question. Where was this ark in Saul's king reign? It was with the Philistines. And Saul, it wasn't important to Saul. Now, can you imagine that, you know, we have a leadership in the church that the purpose of God is not important to them. It's their own agenda. What they want to gain and fleece from the people that is important to them. And protect their interest. And keep their place. And their place is not doing anybody any good. God's going to change it in Jesus' name. Amen. That's the house of David. Okay. So we see here that, and it's not important to note that it is when the ark was brought that they were offering burnt offerings. Now, he didn't do all the most. David lived way ahead of his time, like Pastor has taught us so beautifully many times. He wasn't doing ceremonial things, but he offered two things. He offered burnt offerings and he offered peace offerings. So, Father, I confess my sins. In Jesus' name, I have life. And travail. David prayed with travail. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of the water spouts. That's how he did it. Okay? Alright? So, then just wanted to say that he brought back the glory. And then he taught God's people deep intercession. That's the point I'm trying to make now. That deep intercession ushers in godly character and true divine blessings. So really, we're on the winning side. Amen. That's the will of God. We're on the winning side. So three things are going to happen. First thing, we're going to enter the land. Everybody say, enter the land. Bring back the ark. And then establish the kingdom. Okay? So bring back the glory. And then we establish the kingdom, which is the character of God. Has to be established, okay? That's what God is doing. So David is the type of the Christian who is willing to do all of the will of God. Look at Acts 13:22. It's very important to set this perimeter. All right, let's read it together. And when he had removed him, talking about God removing Saul, okay? He raised up unto them what? David to be their king. How many David kings are here? Potential. Amen. Right? God is raising you up. Amen. You're going to stand upon the mountains. Amen. To whom he also gave testimony and said, I have found who? David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall what? Fulfill all my will. That's the characteristic of David. That's the heart characteristic of David. They are willing to fulfill all the will of God. Alright? And that willingness causes them to know the will of God. Very much. John 7:17. It's when you are willing to know that you will know. That's how the thing about. How will you know? How will you know? Your willingness. And that's how, because this is very important. This, you know, we're talking about living in his presence, you know, knowing what to do, knowing what God is saying. How will you know? It's your will. That will is key, it's critical, it's a trap door. And the way we use it, you know, really determines whether you hear from God or whether you're on the other side. Bible says, if any man will do his will. It's curious, Pastor pointed out. He says, he didn't say if any man does his will. He says, if any man wills to do his will, he will what? Know of the doctrine. Whether I speak, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. So if you want to know what's the will of God, first to check is your will. What do I really want? Do I want to do my own thing or do I want to do what God wants me to do? It's very important. So, and that's what David did. Okay. Now, David was also prepared by God. It's strange that God prepared David in the house of Saul. In the courts of Saul. There was so much around to corrupt David, to influence him negatively. There was so much. But David kept himself in all of his ways. And that's where we get the title. The Bible says David learned to walk wisely in the house of Saul. You can't behave yourself anyhow in the house of Saul. Otherwise, you will pick up bad habits. And evil communication will corrupt your good manners. So you have to be careful about what you hear, how you live, how you behave, how you speak. Because that's the hallmark of a David. You cannot, don't live anyhow. You have to set things in place to follow the pattern. Amen. Right, look at 1 Samuel 18, verses 14 to 16. Thank you. Let's read it again. And David behaved himself wisely in some of his ways. In a few of his ways. In the ways people could see. All his ways. When people were there, when people were not there. He behaved himself wisely. And the Lord was with him. That's the word you brought, sir. And the shout of the king's command. The Lord was with him. Why was the Lord with him? Because he behaved himself wisely in all his ways. God is not a respecter of persons. You can attract God to yourself and you can push him off by the way you choose to live. May we make the right choices in Jesus' name. Next verse. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was what? Afraid of him. Next verse. Why wouldn't they be afraid of you? When you are walking by and they know God is with you. Joseph went to prison to the Potiphar's house. From Potiphar's house, he went to the prison. That's promotion. In God's economy, that's promotion. Going down is coming up. Alright, so he went down, but Bible says that he had favor, he prospered. Not all prosperity is naira and kobo. No prosperity is money and things that you can see. He was in prison. How can you know what is in prison and is prospering? Can you prosper in prison? Yes. You can increase in wisdom. You can increase in stature. You can increase in favor with God and favor with man. And that is the true riches that will ultimately bring the physical riches. Amen. So that's kind of thing that David, you can see it's the same. Joseph, David, it's the same thing. Okay, you are jumping around. Okay, you're trying to help us. Okay, God bless you. Thank you very much. All right, and look at it. But all Israel and Judah did what? Because he did what? Went out and came in before them. He taught them how to pray, how to fight. David was a warrior. Where did he learn to fight? When was the lion and the bear? That was what qualified him with his heart and helped him keep that heart.
You can't keep your heart without learning to fight, because you are contending with spiritual forces that want to corrupt you. So you have to learn to fight. A Christian that is unable to fight or get involved in spiritual warfare will not be able to stay in the house of David. The character of the house of David, they are fighters. They are warriors. They are a family of warriors. Family of warriors. War is, they are in their element. And as you see, as we go on, and when Saul, you know, tried to trap him and said, go and get me 100 foreskins of the Philistines. And was going to, how was he going to get that? By warfare. He said, Oga, me only suffering you, but you served into my hand. That's what did he get him? 200. He asked for 100, gave him 200. Suffer this little one. Just take this 200. The Bible says he thought about that, and it's a good thing. So we see that warfare is critical. Alright? And there are two characteristics, you know, about David that I want to bring out here. One, expertise in spiritual warfare. David had it. Expertise in spiritual warfare, and then learning to walk wisely or circumspectly. That's obedience. One leads to the other. The expertise in spiritual warfare helps you to now walk wisely, because there are different types of weapons. Your mouth is a weapon. Your thought is a weapon. So if you don't open your mouth, you're not using your weapon. That's why now you're waiting for one man of God to pray for you. Use your weapon. Amen. Of course, under covering. Amen. All right. And these two twin things, walking wisely and expertise in spiritual warfare, that help him escape the traps. Look at 1 Samuel 18:25. He set traps for him. How can somebody take javelin and you are there in one room? It's a room now. How can he miss? Saul was a man of war. Think about it. Saul was a man of war. David had the presence of God around him. So when he threw those javelin, he didn't just be coming, and the presence just deflected. Bah. Bah. Matrix. Alright? I mean, when stuff happens and you can't explain, the children call it Matrix. That's why they clap. You do understand? Well, no, it's like actor. You know, when something should happen, another happen, you just say, hey, actor, it's Matrix. That means you have defied some physical laws. God wants you to be doing spiritual Matrix. Every time, spiritual Matrix. And that he grew to command the favor and the loyalty of the people of God. And he made Saul afraid initially, then jealous, and then he wanted to kill him. And when God was satisfied with how he behaved in the house of Saul, God now promoted him into the wilderness. How many people want to be like David? Hello? It's promotion. Because now he was walking wisely before Saul, before, but now he's walking wisely before God himself. It's promotion. It's good to see things the way God sees them. Amen. All right? Okay. So, and so David learned in the school of wilderness, God taught him how to walk wisely before him in divine love. Look at 1 Samuel 24, verse 3 to 7. Are you with me? Amen. All right. And 24 verse 3. Thank you. Yes. And he came by the sheepcotes. He came to the sheepcotes, by the way, where was a cave. And Saul went in. Don't let me. Go to the next verse. There was a cave. David used to hide in caves. And when he was in that cave, no, the caves are deep inside. David went deep, deep, deep inside. He and his men, quiet, hiding from Saul. So Saul came, he was tired, and next verse. Okay, leave it here. And so Saul came and didn't enter the cave, but he didn't go as far inside as David was. So David's men said, ah, oh God, this is the day that the Lord has made. The battalion, Oh, yeah. This is the day. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day which the Lord said unto thee. Be careful about who you listen to. Be careful. It's presumption. Behold, I will deliver thy enemy into thy hand, and thou mayest do to him as it would seem good to thee. Did God say that? I'm asking you, did God say that? Where did they get that? Vain imagination. Be careful. Is that will thing? Your will deliver you from wrong advice. If you really want to do the will of God, you will hear wrong advice and it will drop. You know, but if you your will is moving up and down, then you will be taken, and then you now say, oh, they told me. Like Adam said, she was one that told me. Where is your will? And David arose initially and went and cut off the skirt of Saul's garment. He already had some misgivings. Otherwise, he wouldn't do this. He's a man of war. Just stand over him with a spear and pin him to the ground. Straight. I mean, but he went and just wanted to check, because now he's not dealing with Saul alone. He's dealing with God. So he wants to cut off the skirt and see how God will feel, or what will be God's reaction. Do you check for God's reaction in your decisions, in your actions? Do you really look for what God wants? When God is using a bug horn, stop! Do you hear? Or are you so bent on what you want to do and what you want to get that you throw all caution to the wind to get what you want? Next verse. And it came to pass afterward that what? David's heart smote him. You need to keep your heart pure and sensitive. Don't exercise your heart in disobedience. Because if you do, it makes it difficult to hear God's voice. David's Bible says David's heart smote. It was a sign. God did not speak with a voice, but God spoke. From his heart reaction, God spoke. So next thing, look at the next verse. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid, and I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. Next verse. And David stayed his servants, because if he didn't stay those boys, somebody would just go behind him. Oh, God, it was a mistake. So he warned them seriously, don't touch him. David stayed his servant with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. Then when he has now gone for some time, David now called him. Look at verse 10. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into my hand in the cave. And some, he didn't mention their name, bade me kill thee, but my eye, is it a physical eye? Where was it? It's a spiritual eye, the eye of your understanding, the eye of his heart. Okay, spare thee. And I said, I will not put forth my hand against the Lord, my Lord, for he's the Lord's anointed. Next verse. Moreover, my father, respects. See the skirt of thy robe in my hand, just in case you think I'm making up stories. Okay. For in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not, know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in mine hand. And I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. It's a powerful legal argument. It's a powerful legal argument. I have nothing in my heart against you. Brethren, when people are doing evil to you, can you keep your heart pure? You know, it's one thing to have the opportunity. It's another thing for your heart to be pure. That even if you have the opportunity, you won't want to do anything. To walk in true forgiveness. To release and show mercy. To suffer long. As I'm telling you, me too, I know it's not easy. There's only one way you can do it, in the presence. By warfare. You use warfare to get into the presence, and by warfare you stay in the presence. That's the only way you can do what he's doing. Next verse. The Lord judge, and heaven heard it. If you pray, will God back you? It's not fire and brimstone. No. Fire. Did he pray fire here? He saw not his enemy. It's the gospel we should preach to the fire brethren. Eh? Is it not his enemy? Did he pour call fire from heaven on them? Did he kill him? What did he say? The Lord do what? Judge between me and thee. And the Lord what? Avenge me of thee. But my hand shall not be upon thee. When people do things against you, is your hand upon them? You know, further down, Saul turned around and said, David, my son, now I know that you shall be king. You know what that means? It means that you can walk with God to a place where your enemies will agree with the will of God for your life. And they will declare it. Without knowing it, they will agree with the will of God. They will do what will cause the will of God come to pass. They will agree. They will say it. If they have to do something, they will do it. And I'm seeing it in the lives of our fathers. The people that are planning to do their bad will do them good without knowing that they're doing them good. When a man's ways please the Lord, what does he do? Maketh his enemies to be appeased. But you must walk wisely. Those ways must please the Lord. Don't lean on your understanding. You have to trust the Lord with all, not most, of your heart. All your heart. And see what God will do. Amen. This gives us encouragement. Yes. Behold, I know that now thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thy hand. From that day it was done. You know why? Because someone had prophesied, and Saul had agreed. The prophet and the king had declared it. So it was a legal succession. And was a strong foundation for his kingdom. It was the righteousness. Can you get by righteousness what people are trying to take away from you? Can you get by righteousness what people are trying to deprive you of? The answer is yes. Because you have the house of David. Amen. Amen. All right. Okay. Now, why? Why should we learn to walk wisely? Number one. These tests that David went through were allowed by God. God will test you. God prepares his kings. The difference between David and Saul was that Saul had the kingdom thrust upon him, the way our fathers have taught us, and David was prepared for the throne. God is preparing kings for the throne. He can't afford mistakes. So he's preparing you and I, amen. The same way he prepared David. And this test counted David worthy of the kingdom he was going to inherit by putting Christ-like character inside him. It made David more like God. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. Which is a manifest token. Maybe give me verse 4, because let's make it clearer. So we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecution and tribulation that you endure. Brethren, we need patience and faith. We are going to persecution and tribulation. Next verse, okay? That's what he's saying. Patience is consistency. Consistency in prayer. Consistency in believing God, in obedience to God, okay? Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. The fact that you can be under pressure and come out with the love of God is a token that you are going to escape. Because love is the greatest force in the universe. Bible says many mortals cannot drown love. So if you are walking in love, you are indestructible. You are living in the secret place of the Most High. That's love. Love is the secret place of the Most High. Okay? So he's saying that the fact that you are continuing with faith and patience is already a token that you are going to make it. But it's not until the physical comes. We must learn to live in the spiritual and see the spiritual from where we are and be encouraged. Amen. If you see your will becoming more submitted, you're going to make it. If you see your mind having more revelation, you're going to make it. If you see your emotions being controlled by the fruit of the Spirit, you're going to make it. That's what he's saying here. Is that is the kingdom of God. And you have to suffer to enter the kingdom. Amen. Through much tribulation, we enter into the kingdom. So this spiritual kingship, yes, it has many benefits. It has incredible abilities and all that. It has the glory of God and all that around you. Amen. But you have to suffer to enter it. Jesus himself did. David did. Joseph did. You also will, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, next reason. Alright, and that kingdom, just look at Colossians 1:27. Pastor David was talking about that this morning powerfully, you know. To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the essence of the tribulation. God wants to bring out Christ from inside you. He's there in the spirit, but wants to bring him out into the soul and body where people can see and hear him. Amen. All right. Okay. And the Bible says in Revelation 3:21, we won't turn there, that he that overcometh will sit in my throne. There is no throne if you don't overcome. So you can overcome, but you're going to overcome in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Next thing is, of course, Pastor has taught us this again very powerfully. David's unjust suffering at the hands of Saul strengthened God's legal case to punish and incarcerate Satan and then to judge Saul, who colluded with the devil. We pray for our enemies so that they can repent. But if they don't, God will deal with them. Look at look further down, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verses 6 now to 9. Quickly, we need these scriptures because we need to meditate upon them. We need to think on it because that's what makes you strong. Seeing is a righteous thing with God to do what? Recompense tribulation. It's not you that will do it, it's God that will do it. To them that trouble you, next verse. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. God's going to give you rest in Jesus' name. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, next verse, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, next verse, who shall be punished with what? Everlasting, from where? Presence of the Lord, from glorious power. What this is talking about in the last day, when Jesus will come and appear and put Satan and all his cohorts under. But it also is talking about you and I in this present day, that as we grow, you know, God will arise in us. And from arising in us, you know, he will, the presence of God inside us and the glory of his power inside us will destroy them. The Bible says that Apostle Paul had rest after a while. He dwelt in his own house for 2 full years and nobody disturbed him. The same person who had a message of sin had been chasing around because the work was done. And the Bible says, rest with us. God's going to give us rest in Jesus' name. That state of maturity and the fullness of Christ, and then all is at rest. You just maintain. So we labor, thank you, sir, to enter into that rest. Number three, when you are walking in the will of God, you are advancing God's purpose on the earth. Pastor has taught us this about hastening the day and the hour. You know, so as you are walking and I'm walking in the will of God, we begin to move forward God's purpose on the earth, and that makes us hasten the manifestation of his salvation and his glory. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 to 29. Only let's read it together. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else I be absent, that I may hear of your affairs, that you what? Stand fast where? In one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Next verse. And in nothing what? Terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. So as you are walking in the will of God, and what that love of God will surround you. It will protect you. And when your enemies try, they will shoot, but the arrow will not hit you. But God has to allow them to do that to make that legal case that they really tried to kill you. Right? And that it wasn't a game and wasn't a mistake. No. But God is now saying that the fact that they could not touch you is a token. You know, so that you should not be afraid of them, because perfect love casts out fear. Alright? So you not be afraid of fire that there. You keep your eyes on God, and God is saying that token, the fact that they cannot touch you, is the fact that God's going to judge them for what they've tried to do. And it's also the fact that God's going to save you. Because if they're going to get you, they would have gotten you. But they're not going to get us in Jesus' name. So that, you know, you need to understand the point that God is saying. And this is what hastens the manifestation of the glory of God. But no, when we, all of us as a body, in the 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11 to 13, it says, when all of us, you know, in what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation, you know. So we are looking diligently so that we are found in peace, without spot and blameless. It's the same thing. All of us are working together in divine love. And that divine love, you know, so your individual is working with my own individual, and it's causing a corporate hastening of the coming of the day of God. So that what happens is that we are growing in love, our heavens are being dissolved, and our earth is melting with boiling heat. It's travail. The power of God through prayer, the same warfare, is changing your heavens, your thinking, your will, the way you use your will, your emotions, your feelings, your flesh, your appetites. It's changing all those things, and it's causing you to now have a new heavens and a new earth. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. So righteousness becomes your nature. So it's difficult for you to sin, because already righteousness is embedded deep into your nature. Hey, thank you, sir. That's First John. Okay, so God's seed will percolate deep down. It's on the surface. We have to push it inside and inside. When you embed it deep inside, and then from there it will be exerting an influence. No, and Bible talks about the glory of His power. You know, when Jesus was walking one time, when He announced to them that this day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears, they took him, and are going to throw him down from the brow of the hill. What did he do? Bible says he just turned around and went amongst them. Where did the power come from? His body. The glory of His power. He just prayed a short prayer and emitted the power and walked away free. No lightning, no thunder. Give Jesus a clap of him. That's class. Class. That's class. No razzmatazz. Just easy. And leave them wondering what happened. Matrix. Now that's Matrix. But Wally has got the Matrix Revolution. Alright. So next we need to move on. We must not be enemies of the cross of Christ. Very important. You must not be an enemy of the cross of Christ. There are Christians today in the body of Christ that are enemies of the cross of Christ. Turn our Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Thank you. Right. It says, brethren, be ye what? Followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. It's not everybody you can follow. There are some leaders you cannot follow. They are enemies of the cross of Christ. That is, they say that they come for Christ, but they are walking contrary to the cross of Christ. Jesus went to the cross. Otherwise, you and I will not be here. If we are following Him, we also must go to the cross, which is basically a place of not doing your own will or doing His own will, basically. But there are people who are living opposite to that. The Bible says they are enemies. Next verse. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, means was praying for them, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Give me this in the Message Bible, the two Message Bible. Makes it graphic. Stick with me. Let's read it together. Stick with me, friends. Keep track of those you see running this same course, headed for this same goal. Next verse. There are many out there doing what? Taking another path. Doing what? Choosing other goals and trying to get you to do what? Go along with them. I've warned you of them many times. Sadly, I'm having to do it again, because sometimes you too, you want to go their way. You will not go their way in Jesus' name. All they want is what? What do they want? Easy streets. And they hate Christ's cross. All that message about stuff that will, I beg you, I don't want to hear it. They hate it. Next verse, 20 to 21. For our conversation, way of life, is from whence we also look for the Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. So even though we are on earth, our conversation is where? In heaven. We do not mind earthly things. We mind heavenly things. That's what he's saying. Next verse. Who shall what? Change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his what? Glorious body, according to the working whereby he's able to subdue all things unto himself. How many want God to change their vile body? Your body will never fall sick again. Your body, if you say you want to do this, your body will just totally agree with you. No opposition whatsoever. Your feelings will become God's feelings. Give this to me. Thank you. Put your hands down. Give this to me in the NIV. Verse 20 and 21. But our citizenship is in, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. In this case, yes, he's coming in the end, at the end of time. But in this case, that Savior is coming in you. It's coming in me. So we are awaiting, that's the Savior we are awaiting. The one that's coming in us, not the one coming for us. He must come in us for him to be able to come for us. Okay, next verse. Who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will what? Transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like unto his glorious body while in this life. That's the will of God. And so it shall be for us in Jesus' name. Amen. So how then do we do this? Number one, we must make agape love our aim. Agape love is the aim. Love is the goal. Christ in you, the hope of glory. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1. Follow after charity. That's what we follow after. Don't follow after easy streets. Don't follow after other goals. The first thing is to set where you're going, so nobody turns you off track. Set the goal and say, this is where I'm going. Okay, so love is the goal. Amen. And we must be under covering of set fathers in Zion. Isaiah 32. Let's look at that, because I think that's very important. Okay, Isaiah 32 verse 1 to 2. Alright. David could not have existed without covering. You don't see it there overtly, but it's there. What does it say here? Behold, a what? Shall what? Reign in right. How do you know a king? They reign in righteousness. They reign in righteousness. That means that if somebody is not walking in righteousness consistently, they're not kings. Yet. Thank you. Alright? They're not kings. But if they say they are kings, then they're not kings. Because you can check with this. And it says, princes shall rule in judgment. Okay? Next verse. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, and as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. He's saying that one man can be a channel from God to you. That's what he's saying. So God has set some. Pastor Dave was talking about that so powerfully. God has set some in the church, that it is through their spirits God channels life to those under their covering. Captains over thousands, captains over hundreds, captains over fifties, captains over tens. But the real fathers are captains over thousands. Thousands. It's not how big your church is. Your church can be as big as you want it to be, but the covering may not be coming from you. It's a spiritual body. You cannot segment the Holy Spirit. He doesn't need your permission to give power to people. He can give power to people in any church from anywhere. You cannot control him. So instead of building numbers, build men. Build men. It's the people that are building men that are really the fathers. It's not the size of your church. It's how many people your spirit is able to sustain. Pastor, we'll talk about it next week. Your capacity. When you pray, how many people can feed from your spirit? That's why there have to be parameters for people to become pastors. Because if you haven't pastored your household, you haven't shown us how you can use spiritual power to control your children, to control your wife, control your circumstances, you have no business coming to the church. That's why God did like that. And then do not say, you just put a title, you're just playing games. We're just doing his work silently. It's not based on how big your church is. Samuel's covering protected David. Now, David walked, it was Samuel that anointed him, that was praying, that sustained him. It was Samuel's prayer that supplied extra spiritual nourishment. It was Samuel's prayer that helped David grow in meekness and lowliness of heart to attract the wisdom to walk wisely. It was Samuel. And when David left, at the course of Saul, on his way to the wilderness, he had a bus stop, Samuel's house. And Samuel refreshed him and said, get ready. Yeah, you're going in. And then sent him to go and finish up the work. Amen. Very important. So you have to acknowledge fathers. You always have in your heart, you have to have a right attitude towards your fathers. Attitude of reverence. When they reverence, the key is when they talk, don't take it as, oh, somebody just said. Take it again. Check it again. Again and again. You will see that there is 1%. That 1% will grow to 10. Then it will go to 15. The more your eyes are open. And you see it's 50. Now they But if you just throw the word away and cut your shoulder, you do so at your peril. We will not do that in Jesus' name. Without covering, you cannot do all of God's will. You will do some, not all. It takes covering to supplement what you're getting. It takes covering to back and help your will become more submitted so you can attract. Remember, wisdom is given. Knowledge you can take, but wisdom has to be given. Bible says, when wisdom entereth into their heart, who puts it there? God. Bible says, wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he has no heart? So you have to create the heart, then God will give the wisdom. But if you don't create the heart, you can do all the gra-gra outside to get the wisdom. You're not going to get it, because the heart is the container through which you are going to receive it. Very important. God will help us in Jesus' name. So the first thing is that we have to make love the aim and be submitted to those under covering. Alright? Jesus too needed Simeon and Anna. God is not spooky. These are principles. Simeon and Anna prayed for upwards of years, decades before Jesus came. So the power was stored up. So even though you don't see them when Jesus was there, just was tapping from what had been stored. Or stopping more than installed. God knows what he's doing. Alright. Number two. Learn spiritual warfare. You have to learn spiritual warfare. Learn to pray with all kinds of prayer. Pray with travail. Pray with supplication. Pray with petition. Pray with thanksgiving. They are not the same. We can't take that here. But just know that there are different types of prayer. And they do different things. The same way you cannot use, if I tell you now that a knife is the same as a fork, is it correct? Just give me a plate of spaghetti or noodles and then use the knife to eat it. You will be there. Somebody will go to Lagos on Thursday and they will come back. You will still be there. As you are putting it in, your job is sliding off. There are different types. A knife has its uses, but not with spaghetti. You need a fork. But if you have meat or chicken, you need a knife. Sometimes you need both. Same thing, when you are doing spiritual warfare, you need a mixture of prayer. It's very important. We cannot be ignorant about these things. This is the hallmark of David. Expert in spiritual warfare. So he knows what is appropriate now. And he's working with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we operate the seven pillars of wisdom. Please let me put that up. You know, but I want to emphasize that no, prayer is key, because you know you generate spiritual power through prayer. You know, and it's significant. You know that you know the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. You know, was the Bible says in the book of Luke that He will ascend and He will sit in the throne of His father David. So that inheritance that He had was already pronounced upon Him, even though He was a baby. He had not gotten into it. Then He grew and had to do spiritual warfare. Then had to die on the cross and go to hell and then destroy them in hell. He got it by conquest. The first is by inheritance. The next one is by conquest. And then when He came out, God now said, "Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee." Hebrews chapter 1. Then it was by bestowal. There's nothing without a fight. To get into sonship, you're going to have it. Yes, it's potential by inheritance. You must get it by conquest. And then ultimately, it will bestow. When you get there, there will be a word to announce that you are there. And you will get there in Jesus' name. So we are following the pattern. That's the pattern. Number 3, be obedient to apostolic instruction through fathers. All right? That's part of what we said in 1. But it's important to understand. Thank you very much. Alright, so we see the fear of God, honesty and humility, battle prayer, and communion prayer. The prayer, that's what we're looking at now, binding the devil, confession of the word, meditation of the word, practicing the word. That's what I'm talking about now, practicing of the word. So basically, I'm talking about seven pillars. Alright, but James 1:22 is the scripture I wanted to show you. You know, please give it to me. Thank you. Thank you very much. But be ye what? Doers of the word, and not hearers only. If you hear, you are meek and not lowly. You need lowliness, because it's the lowliness that attracts wisdom. With the lowly, Proverbs 11:2 is wisdom. So you can deceive yourself that you know, and this is something that you know all of us should pray, because in this church we know. By the mercy and the grace of God, given the pedigree of our fathers, our children. You know, sometimes you ask a fellowship, if the answer is not honesty, if it's not humility, it should be love or prayer. You know the lingo, but the experience is not there. The relationship is not there. You're not working it out. No? If you are not a doer, you are deceiving your heart. Or let me say, you are giving your heart a chance to deceive you. Because the nature of our hearts is to deceive. I would say the heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. So he will tell you, you will do it. I will do it. Then when you get there, you say, I'm feeling tired. It's better for me to do it tomorrow. I mean, what do you think? Let's do it tomorrow. No, okay, we'll do it later in the night. Okay. Then you do that. Then when you get later in the night, what happens? You sleep. Then after them, you wake up next day, I'm sorry, Father, come back. And he'll be playing you like that. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I don't know whether you've been there. I have been there. Well. Well. Don't let your heart deceive you. Put the doing as number one priority and do it. When you do it, you break the cycle of disobedience. Bible talks about the bond of corruption. There's a bond, though. And there's also a bond of righteousness. So you can break the bond of corruption and disobedience and enter into the bond of where obedience becomes a cycle. It's difficult for you to come out of it. It's just live inside. You will enter it in Jesus' name. How you're looking at me as if I say something that is far away. It's here and now. It's for us to enjoy. Amen. Alright, number 4. Diligent watching and praying. This is very, very important. Watching and praying. The Bible says in Luke 21:36 that we are accounted worthy to escape. Watching and praying, alright, is look at what David did. Because I want to bring it out in the life of David. Father, have mercy on me. Alright. Okay. Watch ye therefore. Yeah. And pray always that you may be accounted worthy to what? Escape. That's how David did it too. He escaped all. All that Saul did. Notice that Saul and Satan were working together. Satan was one with the idea. Saul was the implementer. Yes. Saul was them. They were working together. But Bible says that he will be accountable to escape all this that shall come to him and to stand before the Son of Man as a son. Now look at Psalm 57. And we see this in the Old Testament. This blessed me. And I hope it does you. Let's read it together. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. For my soul was trusted. When someone is chasing you around trying to kill you, Satan is trying to make you fall, make you sin, make you stumble. You know, you need mercy. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I what? Make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. There are calamities everywhere. Look, as verse 1. So this verse 1 gives you a setting of the time he was living in and the pressure David was under. Look at verse 4. My soul, I can't hear you, is what? Among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Pressure. Satanic pressure. Alright, verse 5. Be thou what? O God, above thee, and let thy glory be above all the earth. God has to be exalted. When you are under pressure, you exalt him by prayer. When you pray, he ascends up above the heavens of your soul, and puts your will down, gives you light in your mind, controls your emotions, and then the glory seeps into your body, and your affections are set on him. That's how he did it. All right, look at next verse, verse 6. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, in the midst whereof they, not I, have fallen. Amen. So when you watch and pray, you will sidestep. Bible says the wicked, the prudent foresee the evil, and the wicked comes and takes his place. It won't meet you in Jesus' name. Amen. But you have to watch and pray and be in the spirit. Amen. Verse 7. My heart is, what was David's heart? A man after God. Who will what? Do all my will. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and I will give praise. That's where that song is sung today came in. You know, praise. Praise is a sign of victory. God wants us to begin to praise God because, brethren, we have the victory. The winter is past. The strife is over. It's over. Just need to maintain and continue what you're doing and stay in God's presence, and you keep having victory upon victory in Jesus' name. All right. So we see that. Now look at Jude 20:21. How do we watch and pray? This describes it graphically. You know, Jude 20:21 describes it graphically. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Next verse. Keep yourselves where? That's where we're supposed to be. That's the place where Satan cannot touch us. Amen. That's the secret place where he cannot touch us. You know, looking for what? The mercy. What did David ask for? Mercy. Be merciful unto me. Mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unto what? Eternal life. So what are you looking? When you say you are watching and praying, what are you watching for? You are watching, looking for the mercy of God. You're looking at the degree of your meekness, and you are looking to the instruction of the Father and the Holy Spirit. You're looking for mercy. You're looking at the meekness and the lowliness of your heart, and you're looking to the instruction of your fathers. And then you graduate to the instruction of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then you start walking out, and then you pray. So the watching and praying, the looking and the praying together now keep you in that secret place in Jesus' name. Amen. And number 5, which final, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And that comes with your will, the exercise of your will. You know, the still small voice. Look at John 5:30.
John 5:30. John 5:30 says, I can of my own self
do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me.
When you're willing to do the will of God, when the Holy Spirit is in talking to us in a still small voice, you will pick it. Amen. When it's nudging, you will pick it. Sometimes, you know, you need to find out what is the will of God. And when you know the will of God, what is the timing of that will? You know, what is the way of that will to come to pass? It's not just, let me just do it. You know, we begin to be sensitive and take off our shoes and walk circumspectly so that we can defeat. That's how to be led by the Spirit. You know, so the Spirit can then lead you and you can escape all that Satan plans and, as it were, ascend up to the throne and rule out of Zion over the entire kingdom. Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. The David spirit is going to defeat the Saul spirit, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Amen. Let us pray. Talk to God. Learning to walk wisely, you need spiritual warfare. You need to live in the presence of God. Avoid the enemies of the cross of Christ. Understand that the suffering is perfecting you and taking you closer, speeding up the manifestation of the glory as you allow it to work its perfect work, so you can be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let's repent and determine to give attention to prayer and the word. Take up your cross. Let the word of apostolic fathers sink into your spirit. Go over the messages. Go over, meditate on the scriptures. Pray in the spirit. And let this divine nature be deeply embedded into your soul and to your body, to my soul and my body. So we can arise as a mighty army to turn the kingdom unto God. Ask God for mercy. It's not a message of condemnation. It's a message of to inspire and to encourage you. You have the house of David. Get up. Use your weapons. The blood, the word, and the spirit through your mouth and through your thoughts. Don't let your thoughts count against you. Let your thoughts count for you. Keep your mind stayed on Him. Keeps them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. Hour on the hour, walk in the Spirit once every 6 hours, at every opportunity. Target every hour. I will acknowledge God every hour. Even if I don't pray, just God, thank you. Thank you for your mercy. Have mercy on me in this regard. Pray briefly under your breath. And stay in tune. Stay frequently in tune. That way, if there's anything you hear, don't go far away. Mind heavenly things. Let's take this song. It's a song of arising.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Victorious army, hand upon your heart. It is our destiny to have a crown of life. That's our destiny. You believe it, and we're going to pray, and we're going to enlist, and as we're ready in the army, God will strengthen us to finish well. Let's raise our hand and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that you sent to me today, showing me that you have ordained me a king after David, after Jesus. And it is your will for me to ascend onto the throne of my kingship in this city, in this season, through spiritual warfare and walking circumspectly in obedience. Heavenly Father, have mercy on me. Help me so I will be sensitive to you. I will not lean on the arm of flesh. I will lean on you and the weapons of my warfare, submitted to spiritual authority, praying with travail, praying with communion prayer, binding the devil, obeying the word, fasting and praying, so that as I take up my cross, I will follow Jesus beyond the veil, and I will enter and sit after my Father's upon the throne of glory you have prepared for me. Heavenly Father, help me not to be discouraged. Help me not to be weary. Help me not to be distracted, that my eyes will be single to follow Jesus whithersoever he goeth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray the Spirit. Rasa koledea, zelanama pange de besa, jenga na namaya, rapa benga tombe sene na bat, rapa kange kelai, rande bene de de baba 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 salenea, rende de bene koko kole beliya, mande tu kono de de baka kaya, jenga de be bana mana do baba ya, rapa banga nasa, jaka bolea, rama boys, bola na mai, bola le baud, rale le balua, rende de be sang, rale de be kanga. Jeka Masoa, Rapa Satoba, Rekeka, Komania, Randevea, Rode, Valorant, Belelea, Rasa Basane, Selebea, Rolebe Sata, Jale Basata, Belelevega Namaya, Ronde Balekata, Rampakata, Rainabata, Jayalabeta, Raka Kokoi, Raka Kakai, Korenamote, Bariwanaya, Jalebe Soto, Belelabasa, Lebekota, Relebe Kapa, Bangalebe. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray for our healing. Let's put your hand on your body and pray in faith and belief. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you, because himself the word, Jesus, took my infirmities. So by his stripes I am healed. I thank you for my healing, and I come to enforce the healing under the covering of my spiritual fathers. According to your word, the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, who dwells in me, gives life to every part of my mortal body, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, flushing out sickness, disease, infirmity, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. So I declare that every cell and the DNA in every cell functions error-free. My immune system functions optimally. I obey the law of diet, of rest, of exercise, of hygiene and natural medicine. So I fulfill the number of my days. I live in divine healing. I live in divine health by divine life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Jaleleve Swariana, Reka Bangela Basato, Reka Kaka, Jekeleve Beseta, Radebas, Rondebe Kaka, Rida Baba Bobea, Rabba Kamban, Tekeleve Bes, Ombaya, Rabba Pegala Masote, Redebe Bala, Rabba Kato, Raka Shaka Ligaya, Jekala Basolo, Rabba Deal, Rabai, Radai, Radai. Radaya, Jedalabaya, Baleleva Sal, Baria, Ragan Tomtas, Marakangalas, Rabakakalas, Rekabayata, Rabakabale Kumata, Releve Salas, Jekre Kumdama, Bafreke Kumidiba. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's join our hands together. We say, in Jesus' name, we have life. Under the covenant of our fathers, we declare the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. And the Lord your God give you peace. Lord, grant you to be head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Enable you to possess the gates of your enemies, including the gates of death. So we declare you will live and not die. In this week, you will declare the glory of God in the land of the living. You will declare the glory of God in everything you set your hands upon to do, in the name of Jesus. We put the name of the Lord upon you, even divine love. And we say the blessings of Joseph rest upon your head, in Jesus' name, amen. And so the Lord puts on us the mantles of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, say, let's share the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell your neighbor, I am a David, and I walk wisely by spiritual warfare to enter my destiny. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.